Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, and the truth of the Bible, and the truth of prophecy. And what is happening in the world today? How can we make sense out of the things that are going on? Right now, scientists are converging many different technologies so that they can extend human life, make us better, improve us, even bring us to the point of immortality. And they also want to combine animal genes and human genes. And of course, we've been all programmed to receive it, haven't we? Now, just like my wife has said, Satan telegraphs what he's going to do through the movies. How many remember Star Wars when it first came out 20 years ago? Well, we all went to see it. And there we were all programmed for the first time in transhumanism and robots and mental telepathy and in Satanism and witchcraft. Oh, but that was such a wonderful movie. Then remember, in the sequel, Yoda, remember that little short man with the pointed little ears and the hooded, bulging eyes was the one who taught Luke mind control. To use his mind to lift his space vehicle out of the mud. To use his mind to focus on things so that he would be more than human, greater than other transhuman enemies that were around. All programmed. What do we have today? Robots? What do we have today? Men in an ethical, educated position where that anything goes as long as it is a benefit to them, whether it hurts other people or not. So we're all programmed. Look at the movies. Look at the television series. Are we not all programmed for death, destruction, and fighting space aliens? So likewise, we've been programmed for transhumanism. And here's what the scientists want to do. And then we will come back to Genesis 3 and see where it began and see where it ended with the flood. Now, Reuters News Agency published a report in 2009 in which scientists admitted they were comfortable with a 50-50 blend of mixing animal and human embryonic cells together. Now, you see, once you crack the genetic code, then you can move genes from one species into another, and it becomes part of that species. The way that they were able to produce a strain of tomatoes that would not freeze was to take a gene from a sole, a fish, S-O-L-E, fish, that lives in very cold water. So they spliced that in to the tomatoes, and now they have tomatoes that can withstand much, much lower temperatures. Isn't that wonderful? But what does it do to the tomato? Likewise, with potatoes, they got a gene from a moth and spliced that into the potato genes, and now they have a potato that won't spoil as quickly. But what does that do to our nutrition? Now we have so many genetically modified foods, and they're beginning to find out that these are really not suitable for the human digestive tract. And so we have an explosion of diseases. See, when men begin tinkering with what God has made, then all evil is going to come through the door. So this is what they're content with. The public mostly is still under the impression that this is being done at the embryonic level and that the amount of human DNA in a transgenic animal is so minute as to be excusable. But where they want the debate to go now is, can we raise these to full maturity in the public's knowledge and experiment on part humans, part animals that are fully grown? And you say, unheard of. How could this be? And yet the Bible tells us there is nothing new under the sun. That which has been is that which will be. Was something like this done in the past? And if so, where? How did it begin? Where did it end? And how far did God allow them to go? And by admitting that that's now where they want the public to be comfortable with this research, they also said that they knew that there would be some rogue scientists out there that are not operating with federal dollars, and they're getting ahead of them in this technology, and it could even become a new kind of weapon of mass destruction. It could, at minimum, become a molecular biological nightmare. Are you ready for that? Let's come back to Genesis 3. Now here we have Adam and Eve, perfectly formed and made by God. Fully human, fully reproductive, fully knowledgeable of the way of God. And they were living in the Garden of Eden, and God was also living in the Garden of Eden. And he placed before them the choice, represented by the tree of life on the one hand, which then would be God's way to eternal life. Because, see, God's plan in making man is that man, though he has all of these abilities, though he has eternity in his heart, though he can think beyond himself, though he can do many scientific things, is temporary. And he made man to be improved upon, to be able to better himself, to learn knowledge, to grow, to understand, to put things together, to build. And now look where that's taken us, under the guidance of Satan the devil, rather than under the guidance of God, because Adam and Eve rejected the guidance of God by following Satan the devil. And from that time to this, and will continue until the return of Jesus Christ, the whole world has been under the influence and power of Satan the devil, big time. Let's see how Satan comes along and confuses everything so that even evil is right. Good and righteousness is wrong. Now let's come to Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Is it true, God has said, that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Well, no, God said you may freely eat of all the trees. And even Eve knew that, and Adam knew that. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has indeed said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Satan always has the answer. You don't have to do what God says. I'll give you a benefit. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what human beings do when they choose to sin. They think that by sinning, they gain a benefit. By lying, they can advance themselves. By cheating, they can earn more money. And on it goes. By worshiping Satan, we will have the knowledge of good and evil, and we'll be able to sort out the good from the evil. Not so. That's why every human society has failed. Every empire has come crashing to the ground because they're operating on the human and satanic level. Now let's see what happened here. This is not a mythological tale. These are the summarized facts that God wants us to know as to what happened to Adam and Eve. And the serpent said to the woman, "In dying, you shall not surely die." And of course, Adam and Eve didn't know really what death was. God only told them that in dying, you shall surely die. Serpent says, "No, you're not really going to die." And so here's the first false doctrine that comes along, the immortality of the soul. And from that, Satan's inspiration has sprung all the religions of the world. They all believe in the immortality of the soul. See, this is why you want the Word of God. This is why you need the truth from the Bible. Because religions are inventions of men under the inspiration of Satan the devil. Verse 5, the lie continues. "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like God, deciding good and evil." Now, other translations have it, knowing good and evil. No, they were deciding for themselves and experiencing evil. They did not become like God in the sense that they fully understood what evil was and fully understood what good was. They only became like God in deciding. They said, "All right, you decide what's good and evil." Okay? Now, God did give them choice. But if they chose God's way, the world would have probably been much different than it is now. So here's the choice that they made. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Now, that verse says an awful lot. This tells us that if we give ourselves over to lust, that which is evil will appear good. And to make one wise. Now, that's not to say God wants us to be dumb idiots and dolts. No, God wants us to be wise because he's the source of wisdom, the source of truth, the source of knowledge. But we have to do it God's way. So here, Adam and Eve were now going to do it Satan's way. And they would make themselves better than God by deciding for themselves what was good and evil instead of relying upon God to teach them what was good and evil, right from wrong. And they also, in doing this act, cut themselves off from the tree of life and cut themselves off from living with God in the Garden of Eden. Let's read on. "And after eating," verse 7, "and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Now, whatever transpired there must have been something that was going on. We can only have speculations as to what it was. God doesn't tell us what it was, but the thing is, their nature changed when they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now then, God knew that they did this, but God wanted to find out from them. So let's read on. "Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Well, you can't hide from God. David wrote that if you go on to heaven, he's there. If you go on the deepest places of the earth, he is there. God knows everything, all the time, everywhere, but God wanted to know what Adam and Eve's reaction was going to be when he caught them. So let's see what happened. And let's see that the course of human history was changed because of this very act here. And this is how we got human nature. And this is how we inherited death. And this is why we are cut off from God. And the Lord called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, so I hid myself." And God said to Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now, here's a very important principle in the Bible. The whole foundation of the Bible: obey the voice of God. Now, what do we have here in the Bible? We have the words of God, either spoken by God or inspired by God through the prophets and the apostles, the words of Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, do we live by them today? Or are we like Adam and Eve and we pick and choose what we want to do? Let's go on here. "And a man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.'" You see, you always have to have a scapegoat. You always have to blame someone else when something goes wrong. That's exactly what Adam did here. He didn't want to say, "God, I was negligent. You told me to dress and keep and guard the Garden of Eden, and I didn't do that. And this serpent came in, and I should have gotten him out of here right away. But I didn't do that. It's my fault." No, he didn't say that. Notice what he did. He actually blamed God. Verse 12, "And a man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. It's her fault, Lord. And since you made her, it's your fault, God.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.' And the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock, above every animal of the field. You shall go upon your belly, you shall eat dust all the days of your life.'" Then he gives the first prophecy of the coming Redeemer and the destruction of the works of Satan, the devil. Now, verse 16, he said to the woman, "I will greatly increase your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children. Your desire shall be toward your husband, and he shall rule over you." Now that has been set by God. Women disobey that, but that's just a fact of life. And another fact of life is this: Satan has a female goddess under various names. And those all go back to Mother Eve. Now, if you don't have the book, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, we have it right online. You can download it right here at Church at Home. And you need to read that book. You need to understand how the world has come to be the way that it is and how the religions of the world all come from this one central point of Adam and Eve's sin coming down through all history. Because of that sin, the environment was changed. The nature of human beings was changed. And death entered into them, which you might like to call a death gene. Now, man does not like to die. Man does not like to get old. But God has put it there. And no man is going to undo it. And the only way around it is repentance and following God. So here's what he told Adam: "Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' the ground is cursed for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. It shall also bring forth thorns and thistles to you, and thus shall you eat the herb of the field.'" That's the way it has been. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. You want to know how sure the Word of God is? Has anyone overcome death other than Jesus Christ? Nope. No one has. No one will. And they cannot do it by going Satan's way, Satan's religion, Satan's societies, Satan's technology. They cannot do it by transhumanism, by putting animal genes within humans and human genes within animals so that they can create new fantastic species, because that won't work. And it has already been done. And we will see that, because that's how modern that the Bible really is. Now, what happened to Adam and Eve? Verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to decide good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. This is saying you cannot in the flesh live forever in a state of sin. The wages of sin is death. Pronounced by God to Adam and Eve after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, because of that, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Verse 23, therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken, and he drove out man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. They probably met with God periodically at the entrance of the Garden of Eden. And apparently, God spent a lot of time in the Garden of Eden while the Adamic world and civilization expanded, and there were two ways that it expanded. Number one, under the righteous lineage of Abel and Seth down to Noah, and under the evil lineage of Cain, who killed Abel, his brother, and was further removed from God. Sent into the land of Nod, or the land of wandering. And then we find the evil that Cain's line did in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Now, we could spend a lot of time going through and showing how that developed, but it's just the foundation for all the civilizations which came after the flood. Now, we're going to talk about what happened, what they were doing. Now, we also know that they lived hundreds of years. Adam and Eve lived 930 years. Enos lived to be 807, Seth 912. Now, living that long, think of all the knowledge that everyone could develop. Now, those of the righteous line remain faithful until the last generation. Those of the line of Cain went and developed their societies under the inspiration of Satan the devil and worshiped him as God. So now, we're going to apply in the next segment what Jesus said to Genesis 6, and let's see that they were doing exactly the same thing that human beings are doing today. Transhumanism. And that was the cause of the flood. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.